"So, Sabini," said Malfoy, "what did Slughorn want?"
"Just trying to make up to well-connected people," said Sabini, who was still glowering at Goyle. "Not that he managed to find many."
This information did not seem to please Malfoy. "Who else had he invited?" he demanded.
"McLagan from Gryffindor," said Sabini.
"Oh, yeah, his uncle's big in the ministry," said Malfoy.
"Someone else called Belby from Ravenclaw?"
"Not him, he's a prat,"
said Pansy.
"And Longbottom, Potter, and that Weasley girl," finished Sabini.
Malfoy sat up very suddenly, knocking Pansy's hand aside.
"He invited Longbottom?"
"Well, I assume so, as Longbottom was there," said Sabini indifferently.
"What's Longbottom got to interest Slughorn?"
Sabini shrugged.
"Potter, precious Potter. Obviously he wanted a look at the Chosen One," sneered Malfoy. "But that Weasley girl, what's so special about her?"
"A lot of boys like her,"
said Pansy, watching Malfoy out of the corner of her eyes for his reaction.
"Even you think she's good-looking, don't you, Blaze? And we all know how hard you are to please."
"I wouldn't touch a filthy little blood traitor like her, whatever she looked like," said Sabini coldly, and Pansy looked pleased.
Malfoy sank back across her lap and allowed her to resume the stroking of his hair.
"Well, I pity Slughorn's taste. Maybe he's going a bit senile. Shame. My father always said he was a good wizard in his day. My father used to be a bit of a favourite of his. Slughorn probably hasn't heard I'm on the train, or..."
"I wouldn't bank on an invitation," said Sabini. "He asked me about Knott's father when I first arrived. They used to be old friends, apparently, but when he heard he'd been caught at the ministry, he didn't look happy. And Knott didn't get an invitation, did he? I don't think Slughorn's interested in Death Eaters."
Malfoy looked angry, but forced out a singularly humorless laugh.
"Well, who cares what he's interested in? What is he, when you come down to it? Just some stupid teacher."
Malfoy yawned ostentatiously.
"I mean, I might not even be at Hogwarts next year. What's it matter to me if some fat old has-been likes me or not?"
"What do you mean you might not be at Hogwarts next year?" said Pansy indignantly, ceasing grooming Malfoy at once.
"Well, you never know," said Malfoy with the ghost of a smirk. "I might have, moved on to bigger and better things."
Crouched in the luggage rack under his cloak, Harry's heart began to race. What would Ron and Hermione say about this? Crabbe and Goyle were gawping at Malfoy. Apparently they had no inkling of any plans to move on to bigger and better things. Even Sabini had allowed a look of curiosity to mar his haughty features. Pansy resumed the slow stroking of Malfoy's hair, looking dumbfounded.
"Do you mean him?"
Malfoy shrugged.
"Mother wants me to complete my education, but personally I don't see it as that important these days. I mean, think about it. When the Dark Lord takes over, is he going to care how many OWLs or NEWTs anyone's got? Of course he isn't. It'll be all about the kind of service he received, the level of devotion he was shown."
"And you think you'll be able to do something for him?" asked Sabini scathingly. 16 years old and not even fully qualified yet?"
"I've just said, haven't I? Maybe he doesn't care if I'm qualified. Maybe the job he wants me to do isn't something that you need to be qualified for," said Malfoy quietly.
Crabbe and Goyle were both sitting with their mouths open like gargoyles. Pansy was gazing down at Malfoy as though she had never seen anything so awe-inspiring.
"I can see Hogwarts," said Malfoy, clearly relishing the effect he had created as he pointed out of the blackened window. "We'd better get our robes on."
Harry was so busy staring at Malfoy he did not notice Goyle reaching up for his trunk. As he swung it down, it hit Harry hard on the side of the head. He let out an involuntary gasp of pain, and Malfoy looked up at the luggage rack, frowning. Harry was not afraid of Malfoy, but he still did not much like the idea of being discovered hiding under his invisibility cloak by a group of unfriendly Slytherins. Eyes still watering and head still throbbing, he drew his wand, careful not to disarrange the cloak, and waited, breath held. To his relief, Malfoy seemed to decide that he had imagined the noise. He pulled on his robes, like the others, locked his trunk, and as the train slowed to a jerky crawl, fastened a thick new travelling cloak around his neck. Harry could see the corridors filling up again, and hoped that Hermione and Ron would take his things out onto the platform for him. He was stuck where he was until the compartment had quite emptied. At last, with a final lurch, the train came to a complete halt. Goyle threw the door open and muscled his way out into a crowd of second years, punching them aside. Crabbe and Zabini followed. "You go on," Malfoy told Pansy, who was waiting for him with her hand held out as though hoping he would hold it. "I just want to check something." Pansy left. Now Harry and Malfoy were alone in the compartment. People were filing past, descending onto the dark platform. Malfoy moved over to the compartment door and let down the blinds so that people in the corridor beyond could not peer in. He then bent down over his trunk and opened it again. Harry peered down over the edge of the luggage rack, his heart pumping a little faster. What had Malfoy wanted to hide from Pansy? Was he about to see the mysterious broken object it was so important to mend? "Petrificus Totalus!" Without warning, Malfoy pointed his wand at Harry, who was instantly paralyzed. As though in slow motion, he toppled out of the luggage rack and fell with an agonizing, floor-shaking crash at Malfoy's feet, the invisibility cloak trapped beneath him, his whole body revealed with his legs still curled absurdly into the cramped kneeling position. He couldn't move a muscle. He could only gaze up at Malfoy, who smiled broadly. "I thought so," he said jubilantly. "I heard Goyle's trunk hit you, and I thought I saw something white flash through the air after Zabini came back." His eyes lingered for a moment upon Harry's trainers. "You didn't hear anything I care about, Potter. But while I've got you here..." And he stamped hard on Harry's face. Harry felt his nose break. Blood spurted everywhere. "That's from my father. Now, let's see." Malfoy dragged the cloak out from under Harry's immobilized body and threw it over him. "I don't reckon they'll find you till the train's back in London," he said quietly. "See you around, Potter. Or not." And, taking care to tread on Harry's fingers, Malfoy left the compartment.